Hello and welcome to the Flight Free podcast, the place for uplifting stories, grounded adventures, and enlightening reasons why not to fly. For the next 25 minutes, we hope to inspire, inform, and entertain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hello, and welcome to the Flight Free podcast. I'm Maggie.
And I'm Bertie.
This month, we're going to be talking about the upcoming COP26, and we'll be speaking to Mara Depata. Mara is part of Rail to the COP, a campaign that brings together policymakers, experts, and young people. They want to accelerate the transition to a more sustainable travel industry. It's a campaign, but it's also an actual train. The climate train will be heading from Amsterdam to Glasgow on 30th of October, loaded with experts and campaigners. And Fly Free UK is going to be on the train. Sunita from our team will be there. But first things first, Bertie, for those who are unsure, what exactly is COP26?
So COP26 is a United Nations climate change conference. COP stands for Conference of the Parties, which means the parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. This will be the 26th annual summit, hence the name COP26. The UK is hosting it along with our partner Italy, and it's in Glasgow, and representatives from all around the world will attend in order to discuss and agree on coordinated action to tackle climate change.
The famous Paris Agreement came out of COP21 in Paris in 2015. This was a great moment as it united nearly all the world's nations for the first time in a single agreement on tackling global warming and cutting greenhouse gas emissions. But the emissions cuts agreed in Paris weren't enough to keep warming to within 1.5 degrees or even 2 degrees. Nations agreed that every 5 years, they would come back with an updated plan that would reflect their highest possible ambition.
So COP26 is extra special as it's now been 6 years since the Paris Agreement. This is the moment when countries are going to update their plans for reducing emissions. And this brings us nicely to our Flight Free fact from Maggie.
Flight Free fact.
Climate change, as we know, is mainly caused by emissions of greenhouse gases. And worldwide transport is responsible for 16.2% of greenhouse gas emissions. It's much more in rich countries. Transport accounts for 29% of emissions in Europe, and it's gone up by a third since 1990. That's mostly road transport, cars, vans, and lorries, basically. But aviation plays its part. So it's a little bit ironic that we're pinning our hopes for fighting climate change on people flying into Glasgow from all over the world.
I think it's worth mentioning some of the goals for COP26, which are to secure global net zero by mid-century and keep the global warming limit of 1.5 degrees within reach, to adapt and to protect communities and natural habitats, to mobilise finance, at least $100 billion in climate finance per year, and to work together to deliver. Basically, we can only rise to the challenges of the climate crisis by working together. COP26 is going to be a really important moment and is being called the world's last best chance to get runaway climate change under control.
I feel quite overwhelmed just thinking about it, and I'm not even going to be there. Joining us to talk about Rail to the COP is Mara Depata. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind the campaign Rail to the COP?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm Mara Depata from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam. And yeah, I've been actually working towards the Rail to the COP campaign for a long time. I'm a big travel enthusiast myself, but then also an environmentalist. And that doesn't always match. And I've been trying to bring those two together for the past years, not just for myself, not just by traveling more sustainable myself, but also through actions and campaigns. So I've been involved in multiple organizations and actions, for example, with Stay Grounded, the international network on anti-aviation campaigns. I've been involved with an action at Schiphol Airport with Greenpeace. And then 2 years ago, I was one of the initiators of Sail to the COP. And I think it's fair to say that Rail to the COP is kind of an offspring of Sail to the COP. The idea behind Rail to the COP was actually also born on the ship itself in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. No trains in sight or anything, but yeah, we came up with the idea to get a train rolling to COP26 in Glasgow while we were sailing.
Could you remind us what happened with, because where were you sailing in Sail to the COP and what happened?
Yeah, well, that's a fun story. So the idea was to get to COP25 in Chile by sailing ship. We started in Amsterdam. It was a pretty long journey, but halfway through we heard that Chile wasn't going to host the COP anymore due to social unrest in the country, and that it was going to be moved to Madrid. And we weren't going to be able to turn around and get to Madrid in time. And it was actually then that we started calling for people that were in Europe to either change their flight tickets to Chile to train tickets to Madrid. And we called for as many youth as possible to just get to Madrid and demand ambitious climate goals. And we obviously asked them to travel sustainably, so by train or by bus. Yeah, so that's kind of where this idea of Rail to the COP started.
So the COP's mainly for the countries to negotiate a new climate agreement. Why do activists and campaigners go, and what do you expect to do while you're there?
Yeah, so I think it's important that the conference is open and transparent just for democratic reasons. So therefore, it is important that societal groups such as NGOs can also be at the conference to not only observe what is going on, but also push for more ambitious climate goals, especially because there's also a lot of lobby groups walking around there and people lobbying for the fossil fuel industry or the aviation industry. And I think it's important to balance their voices out with voices that really have the common good in mind as their interest. And I think it's especially important for youth to join these conferences and for people that are from regions that are affected by climate change already to show world leaders that generally don't have much to do with climate change in their direct life, to show them like, hey, these are the people that are being affected and you need to make policies for them to either secure their future or their current livelihoods.
So how do you feel about the fact that so many people will be flying into Glasgow to attend the conference?
Yeah, actually mixed feelings. Because on the one hand, I think it's important for anyone to be able to join such a conference, especially considering that for the past 5 or 6 years even, the COP has been in or near Europe. So it has been very accessible for Europeans to join, but not so much for people from other regions. And I do think it's very important to also hear their voices, especially those that are living in regions that are threatened by climate change. And I think it's fair if they fly into these conferences. I do think we have to find ways to limit those flights. And an option is to ask everyone who comes from the continent where the conference is being held to not fly. And another option is to move more of the meetings online. But I think even in an ideal world, we'll still have some people flying around for important conferences like these. And that's just a reality that we have to live in.
Yeah, we've been talking about this amongst ourselves. We want our politicians to also lead by example, to show through their actions that they really believe that the climate crisis is real, and not flying would be one way of doing that. But it seems that they're in the habit of flying. And as long as they're flying regularly, then they're also very open to being communicated with by the aviation industry and accepting the aviation industry's view of itself as essential and routine and part of modern life. So it would be nice to see politicians being prepared to change the way they do business.
Yeah, that's actually also one of the reasons why with Rail to the COP, we've invited politicians and mainly national delegates to also join the train. So they have an easy opportunity to lead by example and also show others in government or other policymakers or just the public in general that they're willing to change their behaviors.
That's definitely one advantage of going by train rather than by sailing ship. It is a much more mainstream accessible choice, isn't it?
I don't think we can expect from politicians that they will sit on a sailing ship for weeks to travel to the other side of the world. That's just not feasible.
So have you had many politicians accept your invitation?
Yeah, actually, the delegations of Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium are joining. So those are also the countries that are kind of nearby. So that's really amazing. I do know that most politicians will be joining the COP in the second week, and our train leaves just before the first week. So they won't be joining our train. Hopefully they will be traveling by train. I actually don't really know.
So could you tell us a bit more about the climate train itself? What was the motivation behind it and how people getting involved?
Yeah, so obviously one of the reasons is to just get people to the COP sustainably. Another reason is that we really want to build connections between youth activists, experts, and policymakers. And the train is a very informal setting where we kind of force people to sit together and have a conversation. We're also organizing a program with a lot of workshops and dialogues during the train ride to really foster that connection between the different groups. And hopefully that's a connection that lasts during the COP as well and afterwards, to make these groups more connected to each other, but also specifically on the topic of sustainable travel, just more aware of the different perspectives that there are and hopefully how to make them more sustainable.
So in 2019, Sail to the COP was described as a sailing think tank. It sounds like you're trying to do the same thing, but in a much shorter space of time on the train. It's like a one-day conference.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't consider it to be a proper think tank. I think that requires much more time and a group of people that's very committed to it. We're now mainly focusing on fostering these connections, getting interesting dialogue between the different people on the train. So I wouldn't say it's really a think tank, but it definitely has some elements of it. We also want to collect all of the outcomes of these conversations to present them at the COP, but it won't be a long report as we have written during Sail to the COP.
So why do you think it's important to promote alternative travel methods to aviation?
Well, I think this is a question or an answer that you're probably all very aware of. The main reason is just the very high greenhouse gas emissions that come from aviation. And it is just very important to bring those down. If we're looking at the prognosis for the coming years, aviation is expected to grow so much that it would exceed any planetary boundary that we have. So there is a big need to change to more sustainable options. A very important reason for me is that I see there's a lack of policies when it comes to the travel industry. For example, after the Paris Agreement, all the countries had to make national goals, and only 10% of the countries that made these goals explicitly mentioned transport in there. And I think it's even a lower percentage that have some very specific concrete goals for transport. So it's just a topic that is not being discussed that much. And I think it's important that we do discuss it in the public, but also in policies.
So to follow on from that, what do you hope the outcome of COP26 will be?
I think this is a tough question. I'm a little bit pessimistic at this point. I would be very happy if at the COP, it's going to be less talking about very tiny, stupid details, because that frustrates me the most, that it's just talking, and nothing really happens. It seems like these negotiators have no clue that the world is on fire or almost on fire. So I hope that the COP itself will be more meaningful, not so focused on bureaucratic details. But I also know that might be a naive thought about these conferences. So I'm not sure if I can give a very hopeful answer to this. Yeah, I mainly hope that we're able to raise the ambition and also that the public is just more aware of the need for urgent action.
At the end of the day, the COP is only part of what happens, isn't it? The COP only sets national targets. It doesn't formulate policy, and it doesn't determine how individuals and how companies and cities and so forth respond to the targets. So even if there was no COP, those agencies would still be able to take action.
Yeah, definitely. Although I do know that the COP and the outcomes of these agreements are leading or kind of the framework on which the other policies are built. So it is definitely important. And that's also the reason why I think so many people are interested in going to Glasgow and just being present there, not even entering the venue where the conference is being held, but also being present in the city, be on the streets, show the need for more ambitious goals.
That was about as hopeful, I think, as an answer about the COP can be.
Yeah, I think it's also just about protecting myself because I'm going to be there for 2 weeks. And I know a lot of young people go into these conferences super hopeful. They think they're at the center of international democracy and then come out just totally disillusioned about what happens in such conferences. So I'm mostly telling myself not to be too hopeful, but that's kind of sad.
Anyway. I think in this case, in Glasgow, if we go in expecting them to achieve everything that we want to, then we'll be disappointed, but they won't achieve nothing either. It will be a step forward. You have to remember that the process is supposed to be one of ratcheting up. So as long as we keep taking steps forward and not going backwards, that's the whole design.
That's true. Yeah. I'll keep telling that to myself.
Thank you, Mara. It's been lovely speaking to you, and we wish you best of luck with your journey to COP26.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, and hopefully I'll see you in Glasgow.
Thank you.
Bye.
And now it's time for Destination of the Month.
Destination of the Month.
Given that we're talking about Glasgow, we've picked two places that are within easy reach of the city. I actually grew up in Glasgow. It's an incredibly beautiful city with masses of important Victorian and early 20th century architecture and art galleries and parks. But my pick is to sail down the River Clyde on the Waverley. The Waverley is the last seagoing paddle steamer in the world. One of the best things about the Waverley is that it's got steam engines and you can go down and watch them. And they're open to view by all the passengers. I used to go on the Waverley with my family when I was a child, and I thought these huge piston rods pushing driving the crankshaft that go across the ship between the two paddles, I thought they looked like charging bulls. And also, it's quite mesmerising when the steam engine gets into a rhythm, and also it's really warm and cosy by the engines, so it's a great place to warm up when it's cold and wet up on deck, which it sometimes is. The Waverley can take you to all the lovely old-fashioned resorts along the Clyde, like Rothsay and Helensburgh. And there's a bar on board called the Jeannie Dean's Lounge. And some people just spend the whole time in the bar on the voyage. They're not interested in the scenery or the steam engines. Sometimes there's live music and it can be a real party atmosphere. It's lovely. So Bertie, what about you? Where have you chosen?
I'm going to go for New Lanark, which is an 18th century cotton spinning mill village on the River Clyde, about an hour southeast of Glasgow by public transport. New Lanark was a pretty easy choice to go with. It's very industrial and full of history, but it also sits in a lovely wooded gorge with the Clyde running right through it. And on top of the charm of the village and the scenery, it uses the falls of Clyde to produce hydroelectric energy. So it's super eco-friendly.
Yeah, I've been to New Lanark and it's a real surprise because you know you're going to see all this industrial history and the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution. But then when you get there, it's also incredibly beautiful and there's a nature reserve and the waterfalls and the sound of water all the time. It's really, really lovely.
Yeah, definitely somewhere I'd love to visit.
That's all we've got time for this month. Thank you once again to Mara, and thank you for joining us.
If you'd like to know more about Rail to the COP or donate to the campaign, you can visit their website, railtothecop.com.
Next month, we're going to be talking about the issue of climate anxiety, how it can affect people, and the methods we could use to cope with the growing climate uncertainty. We hope you can join us for that. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for your company at this flight-free podcast episode. We hope you enjoyed the journey. You can find out more about the campaign at our website, flightfree.co.uk, or find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at flightfreeuk. Until next time, stay grounded.